If you were blessed when you were a child, someone got you up in the morning, made sure you had clean clothes and a meal to start your day off right. But once you grew past childhood, it is your responsibility to do those things. It is often told to students upon entering college, no one is going to get you up in the morning and make you go to class and do your work. If you don't do it, you will fail. Plain and simple. You have to keep the fire burning. As a young person, my mother taught me that attending Sunday school and church was not an option. She modeled for me and my brother the importance of faith and active participation in the church. Faith in Christ was something she demonstrated inside and outside of the church as she visited the sick and shut-in and shared what she had with those in need. And along with my dad, opened up her home to those needing a safe place to stay. Likewise, Timothy's grandmother and mother had a similar interest in their son's growth in his faith. Timothy's father was Greek. His mother, Eunice, was a Jewish Christian. So Timothy was considered Jewish because his mother was Jewish. When Paul writes to Timothy, Timothy is a leader in the church in Ephesus. Paul met Timothy when he and Silas were on their second missionary journey. And as a young disciple, he became Paul's assistant and traveled the empire with Paul, preaching and teaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul's reason for writing Timothy includes the fact that the church was falling for false assumptions that passed for knowledge. In other words, preachers were peddling that they had specialized experience of the mysteries of God rather than teaching the central themes of the message of the gospel. Now there's nothing new under the sun. Amen? There are still ministers today in pulpits this morning, preaching that they have some special knowledge that everyone else doesn't have. And if you just give them a certain amount of money, that knowledge will be made available to them. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen? Paul warns Timothy to stay on task and not get sidetracked. Paul centralizes the gospel message that in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness of sins, and that knowing Jesus produces right actions and behavior by true disciples. He instructs Timothy about godly versus unsound leadership and warns Timothy not to give in to the heretic's message, but instead to stand fast in the Lord and stay the course God created for him. Paul warns in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear." Paul exhorts Timothy to not leave what he was taught as a young man in the faith, to not be ashamed to suffer for the sake of the gospel, and not to let his spiritual gifts stagnate. He says again in verse 7, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." He goes on to tell him in verses 13 and 14, "What you have heard from me, keep, as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus, and guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Spirit who lives in us. So it was Timothy's responsibility to guard what he's been given and to fan into flame the gift of God within him. And it is our responsibility as well. Now, there's an old children's Sunday school song that you may remember that illustrates this in a simple way. And it's called, "Oh, You Can't Get to Heaven." Do you remember that? "Oh, you can't get to heaven on roller skates, 'cause you'd roll right by those pearly gates. I ain't gonna grieve my Lord no more. Oh, you can't get to heaven in a rocking chair, 'cause a rocking chair won't get you there. I ain't gonna grieve my Lord no more. Oh, you can't get to heaven in a limousine, 'cause God don't sell no gasoline. I'm not gonna grieve my Lord no more." The song teaches that you can't half-step your way into heaven or be pulled into the kingdom of God hanging on someone else's coattails. And this applies to our spiritual growth and vitality. You cannot rely on someone else to keep the fire for Christ and his ministry burning within you. You have to stoke your own fire. When you stoke a fire, you give it fuel, you stir it up and poke it to get the fire flaming. We must do these things to feed the fire of our faith. Now, yes, the minister has a part to play in helping to sow into you seeds of faith and instruction, but ultimately you are responsible for your own spiritual growth and passion for Christ. In order to grow spiritually, you must keep the fire burning. Excuse me. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood." Amen? The problem with today's church is that some Christians have not put childhood behind them. They think it's all about them, their needs, their likes and dislikes. And when they don't like what is said or done, like a child, they want to pick up their ball and go home. They withhold their tithes and service from the church, trying to hurt the leadership when actually they are hurting themselves. Because the scripture teaches us we reap what we sow. And those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. Whatever seed you plant will determine what type of crop you produce. So if our lives are full of weeds, maybe we'd better examine what kind of crop we've planted. It's just like everything else in life. If we want good relationships, we must invest in them. If you want a loving and lasting marriage, you have to devote time and quality to your relationship. I always say that what it took to get a person is what it will take to keep that person. Anything that we want to be proficient at takes intentional investment. And by investment, I mean that you must make it a priority. Spend time honing the skills or care of it. You have to keep the fire burning. Now, most of you know, all of you know, I love plants. But every once in a while, I get tired of caring for them because I have so many. But then I am reminded that if I want to reap the benefits of their beauty, I have to water, fertilize, and prune them. It is the same with our faith. We must intentionally keep the fire burning. The Spirit gives us gifts to use for the upbuilding of the church. But if we refuse to use them or are stingy with our use of them, the gift will weaken for lack of use. When we let the fire of our faith go out in the passion for Christ, will weaken and stagnate and decline. Or you will become apathetic, indifferent, and lose interest in the things of God and Christ's claim on your life. Some people begin to just go through the motions. You've seen it. Doing the least they can while remaining distantly connected to the church. Some people will stumble and fall away or be blown away when a storm comes. We've all seen people who seem to be so passionate about Jesus. They work faithfully in the church and seem to be very sincere about their desire to live for Christ. But all of a sudden, you hardly see them. They show up less and less, and before you know it, their lifestyle barely resembles one whose life was transformed by Christ. Because it takes inward commitment to nurturing our own personal faith and keeping it vibrant. Now, I'm going to share with you five things that will keep the fire burning and fan into flame the gift of God within us. And as you will notice, this has been the theme through Elder Naomi's message at the end of the year, through Elder Kelvin's message last week. God wants us to begin to be intentional about our faith. And God is giving us steps and instructions with how to do that. Number one, invest in your fire. When you invest in something, you give it time and resources. Purchase a good study Bible. Attend Sunday school and Bible study. And come to worship with an expectant heart. Some people come to worship and they expect to be entertained. Amen? If the choir don't sing what they want to sing, amen? If the preacher don't whoop, somehow they haven't had church. But you're supposed to come with the church in you. Amen? You're supposed to have an expectant heart. A heart filled with praise for the goodness of God. Can you imagine if every Sunday we just come in here happy to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And with a praise on our lips. Amen? With a song in our heart. How would that transform our worship? We would be taking responsibility for our worship and not looking for somebody else to make us worship. Amen? Number two, be intentional. Make fanning the flame of your faith a top priority in your life. As I said before many times, don't make your faith an add-on. Make prayer a priority in your life. Memorize the scripture and confess the word over areas in your life where you need to see God move. When negativity and doubt come upon you, beat it down with the words of faith from God's word. Memorize the promises of God and dine on them instead of negativity and doubt. Spend quiet time with the Lord. Listen for His voice. Amen? Stop listening to everybody else. Listen to God. He desires to speak to you. Number three, protect your sacred space. Don't just tell anyone your business or your concerns or even your joys. Some people are naysayers and poo-pooers. Always putting others' ideas down or making light of them. Keep those folk at arm's length. Amen? They'll rob you of your joy. You don't want to take that spirit that God. Amen? Number four. Joyfully serve the Lord and don't look for human praise. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Some folk got to hear praise from man. I don't want my praise from man. I want to hear my Savior say, good and faithful, well done. Amen? Amen. Finally, number five. Make worship a lifestyle. Look for evidence of God's goodness and greatness in the ordinary, everyday things of life and praise God for them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Make worship a lifestyle. It's about an attitude adjustment. Amen? Amen? If you look for the good, 9 chances out of 10, you're going to find it. Amen? But if all you do is look at your problems will overwhelm you. But what does the scripture say? The scripture says a merry heart is good like a medicine. When we begin to look for the good, when we begin to praise God for his presence in our lives, and even when it seems like we don't know which way to go or what's happening, or we don't like what the doctor said, or we don't know what God's going to do, we look at what he's already done and we begin to praise him for it and thank him because he's faithful and that he never left us and that he promises that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Amen? He promised that he would not put more on us than we can handle. Amen? And when we do that, all of a sudden, that load lightens. Amen? And we get the victory in the midst of the storm. Make worship a lifestyle. One of the purposes of our lives is discipleship, which is a theological word for growing up in God. God does not want you to stay a spiritual baby. He wants you to grow up by studying his word, by trusting God's heart, trusting that God loves you. I just think sometimes folk just really don't think God loves them. Amen? I think sometimes they think God is always mad at them. Or sometimes how God wants to bless you and he don't want to bless me. God ain't like us. Amen? Thanks be to God. Because some folk would be blessed and other folk would be finding their way straight to hell. That's just the truth. Is it not? If you had the choice, can you think of some folk you'd put there? I'm just saying so, amen? But praise be to God, it's not our choice. God's not like us. Trust his heart. Trust that he loves you. Obey God's commands. And develop Christ-like character. You see, many people are saved, but they are shallow. They are Christians who are a mile wide, but an inch deep. There's a story of a little boy who fell out of bed in the middle of the night. When his mother rushed into the room to ask him what had happened. He said, Mommy, I don't know. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. Far too many people do that in their spiritual life. They do what they need to do to get into God's family and become one of God's children. But they never grow up. That's not what God has for us. Amen?
Amen.
The writer of Hebrews says, so let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature. It's time. Amen. Keep the fire burning. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Guard what has been entrusted to you. The Spirit of God is here to help us. Praise be to God. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you. You're so good to us, Lord. You have given us everything, everything that pertains to right living. You've given us your word, you've given us your spirit, you've delivered us from the powers of sin and darkness. But sometimes, God, we just forget. It's like we look in the mirror and when we walk away, we forget what we saw. But God, I pray that as we are just in the second Sunday of this new year, that you would just instill in us a renewed desire to be faithful, to faithfully keep the fires of our faith and the gifts of the Spirit that you have placed within us, a flame and burning. God, that we might bring you glory, that we might build your kingdom, that we might make an impact in our community, God, in every place that you have us, that we might bring you glory, for you're worthy, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.